Kickstart 2, but I'm still on Kickstart 1.3. Next on Amigos. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fun-filled edition of the Amigos Everything Amiga podcast / video show. It's both. I'm your good buddy, your good pal, Amigo Aaron. Now, normally, sitting right here beside me would be that fun-loving pal of mine, John Bodekar Schaller. However, at this exact moment, he's with his band producing sweet, smooth jazz at a bookstore in Charleston. So, I brought in his cut-rate replacement. Please welcome the Brent. That's very good.
I'm here, master.
Good. And what an auspicious day you've arrived.
Yes.
Because we're going to be talking about Kickstart 2. You know, Kickstart 2 motorcycle game.
Yeah.
All right, now, first of all, it's hilarious that back in the day, me and you actually covered the original Kickstart, but we'll get to that in a little while, but when it comes to motorcycles...
Why did you bring it up?
Well, because I wanted to... This is the way we flow.
Oh, we're
it's like
flowing.
That smooth jazz.
All
this
right.
is verbal jazz.
Well...
So, motorcycles. Did you, have you ever rode a motorcycle in your whole life?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, a little 75cc.
Was this like a circus type thing?
No, it was at our grandparents' place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who had a motorbike?
I don't know. I guess Philip technically was the owner of it. Philip is our cousin.
Yeah, so what did you think?
Not for me.
Did you ride it by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, all three of us rode it.
Did you ride all three at once?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was Philip, Jason, one of our other cousins, and myself.
Yeah.
And we had to stop when Jason wrecked it into a fence.
That sounds about right. You guys were the three amigos in Hicktown, basically, because our granny lives out used to live as far in the sticks as you could get, way out in the sticks. Now, so
go to the sticks and then go a little farther.
Yeah. Now, have you ever been into motorbike like racing, or like motocross, any of that
well,
stuff?
Well, I mean,
like, what's your favorite motorized bike sport? There's so many to choose from.
I mean, you got to go for the trick stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like your Evel Knievel stuff.
Well, no. That's stunts.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
like.
I'm talking tricks.
Like
where
they
hit a ramp, they'll do flips and spins and Superman off the bike and that kind of stuff.
Did you ever see those? You know, I went to the circus one time with the boy. I've been to the circus like three or four times. This is when Ringling Brothers was still running ahead to all the animals, a whole 9 yards, right? And they had these guys, it's like these family guys, and they drove these motorbikes to these big, like, hollow... Like spears, metal spears.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd ride around in them, and then they'd get like they keep adding suckers.
Yeah,
you know. And so there'd be like six people in this little spear. They'd be riding around in that thing.
That has a name.
It's called
something of doom or death.
Yeah. And I saw a video one time where they screwed up, and a couple of suckers ran into each other.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, it would. But I mean, can you imagine? How do you learn you could do that?
Well, I mean,
where are you going to go? Where there's a? How do you practice that?
I mean, that's just. Simple inertia. When you go real fast in a circle, it presses you against your bike.
Seems like you get confused because you're going so fast and riding over and over.
That's where the practice comes in.
Man, I wonder how many times they collide in practice and maul themselves.
Tons.
Maybe they just ride regular bikes in there for practice.
Well, you'd have to go pretty fast. You'd have to pedal really hard, Aaron.
That's a good point. I guess you're right. I guess it would be a lot tougher on a pedal bike. So, let's talk about my favorite aspect, which is that stunt
of
show.
The circus? I'm going to guess cotton candy.
Well, no. Did you see the prices of the cotton candy circus? Listen, side story. So, I took Luke and his little chick buddy, right? And so they're like, listen, we want to get popcorn. Okay. I'm a gracious host. This is back when I didn't have any money. I had $0, right? So, I said, oh, popcorn dude, he comes rolling over. I go, give me two. And he goes, okay, $27. And I go, no. Two popcorns. He goes, that's right, $27. I go, $27 for two popcorns? The guy's like, yeah, they come in these commemorative, like, cups. I'm like, can I get a paper cup? He's like, nope, just commemorative. So I said, well, kid, you're sharing a popcorn. You you know, the circus is sort of a scam.
I don't know if you noticed that or not. Well, duh.
They angle the entire time you're at the circus. They're angling for some extra money. Now, with all that said, stunt biking. It's my favorite. Have you ever seen anyone do a live stunt jump?
Okay, like, let me think about this. I'm in the crowd. Now, I have on a dirt track doing tricks, but never a stunt, never an Evel Knievel style thing, no. I've seen them doing tricks live.
I was at a fair one time. They had a guy jump some cars. It wasn't I think it was Evel Knievel at Wembley jumped like a ton of like giant buses.
Yeah.
Like that. It wasn't like that. This is a pretty safe jump. He made it. But, like, when you were a kid, this sort of had died down, I guess, had it, the whole stunt bike
thing.
Well,
no, I caught the tail end of it.
Because Evel Knievel, it was like he was rocking and rolling in the 60s.
I remember the whole Grand Canyon malarkey.
Snake Canyon?
Yeah, well, whatever.
It was Snake
big
Canyon.
Big hole in the ground.
It didn't work.
No, it was a horrible look.
You know, the funny thing, for people that don't know what we're talking about, Evel Knievel was a great American. He's the number one daredevil of all times. In America, probably in the world. And so he used to do motorcycle jumps. And one time he decided to make a rocket cycle. And he was going to jump it from one side of this canyon over the empty part of the canyon to the other side. Well, his engineers and stuff, they made this thing. They're like, listen, Evel, here's the problem. There's no way you're going to make it. It is impossible. You're going to die in this thing. And so they had a parachute installed.
Yeah.
Right? Well, he took off. The parachute instantly came out.
Yeah, and then he even made it to the ramp.
And then not that instant. He went off the ramp.
He was
in the air.
He was in the air, but it didn't go anywhere.
Then he floated to the canyon, to the water. They went down to pick him up. And so everyone thought Evel Knievel was a big coward. It wasn't his fault. It had nothing to do with it. This guy, if anything, he was not a coward.
He
would have died on that jump. He wouldn't even have thought twice about it. He's a daredevil.
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Talk about going down a side path.
Yeah.
That jump was stupid.
The
concept for that jump was stupid.
It was like a quarter mile.
I mean, I was like 8 or something when this happened. Yeah. I don't know my exact age. But I remember thinking... The first thing was, okay, he's not actually going to do this. My second thought was, if he does do this, there is absolutely no chance, I don't care what his bike is gimmicked up to do, that he's going to make it across.
Yeah.
So where's the catch? Where's the gimmick, right?
What's
he going to... So when he jumped off that ramp and like insta-parachuted, I was just like, click. I was done.
I'm just saying, also, that was a cool-looking bike. They sold that playset for years. I was all over it. Listen, you can't blame him. He would have. I know Evel Knievel would have died there before he had not done it.
He's nuts. To blame him. I agree.
There's that Caesar's Palace fountain where
there's
slow motion.
Himself.
It's like ragdoll physics was born that day. If his body being all contorted and mauled. Poor guy. I miss Evel. And then his son also did jumps.
He did tons of jumps.
And passed away. Like he had pancreatic cancer. I'm sure someone is doing that stuff. Now, like, Red Bull's got some guys that do jumps and stuff.
Oh, Well, they've upgraded.
Well, the problem is, like, now you've got, like, like, I saw a guy do a jump when I was researching the show, believe it or not. That's how I research. I watched a bunch of jumps that had nothing to do with the show. But I watched this guy, and he's jumping, and he's got a bike with these big, huge tires. And I was like, man, that takes a lot of the challenge out of it. And also, Evel used to use like a big Harley,
almost standard bike.
Yeah, and so when you take like the lightest bike on earth, it's not as hard. You got more, you can go up further.
Well, I mean, it's still you do it.
One thing I think we can agree on is whatever bike you're on, it's got to handle better than the one in today's game, Kickstart 2. The haunting love theme from Kickstart 2.
If you can be embarrassed for a game, I'm embarrassed for Kickstart 2.
I noticed that when that song kicked up, you literally ducked your head into your arm and shook it. There's a reason why that song's so stupid and dopey, and we're going to get to it right now. Because guess what, everybody? It's time to take a look at Kickstart 2, Brent. Kickstart 2, a game from Icon Design for the Amiga in 87, and... This game is actually it's based on a television show.
Yes.
Ish. Okay, we're going to get to this right now. So there was a show in on the BBC called Kickstart, and then the ever popular Junior Kickstart. Kickstart was a show that pitted the top bike riders in the UK to take on this bizarre obstacle course they would put together. I did some more prep work this week, and I watched a bunch of episodes, you know, or highlights.
How was it?
I'll give you an example, right? So pretend you're on a motorbike. I'm like, okay, you need to try to compete this course in 2 minutes.
Okay.
And there's the course. So you go over some loose rocks. You go over some mud. You go over a couple barrels. You go over a big plank of wood. They have you drive over a Volkswagen up a hill. You go over like a bunch of fence posts and some rail ties. You go straight up a rail. This is the stuff you did. This because it's all about accuracy and handling of the bike. It's not a speed. It's a speed test because you got a timer, but it's not an out and out race. You're going over all this wacky stuff. Junior Kickstart's exactly the same. Except they thought, hey, this will be hilarious. Let's put some young kids in here who can't handle a bike. And we mentioned, you know, I mentioned earlier, we covered Kickstart 1 on an episode of ARG Presents. It was actually episode 99 when we looked at the Commodore 16. We also looked at Jack Attack, by the way, for people that are keeping score. And I mentioned this then, but I'll mention it again because it's so funny. The most famous bit from this show is this bit where this kid is from Junior Kickstart is going up this, like, they've got like a rail you go up that's as big, just the rail's about as big as the tires are.
Sure.
He goes about halfway up and it just tips over. And he falls, I don't know, about 5 or 6 feet into this like, they've got some like, almost looks like a bunch of tumbleweeds, something smashed, just like a padding basically. And so he's laying there clutching his rib and he acts like, oh, little Jimmy's falling off. He couldn't handle it. And so the medic comes down the hill to help him and falls down the hill. And then the promoter who's running to help him, he falls down the hill too. And you hear the crowd laughing their brains out. And the announcer's like, ho, 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 we should laugh. Little Jimmy might be hurt, but ho, ho, ho. That's the funny thing.
When the highlight of your show is injuring a small child, you might want to retool your show.
Listen, this show ran forever. So that's why you don't have to retool it. They loved it. In fact, I can tell you that this show ran so long. I mean, I couldn't believe how long it was. Like, it was over like 7-8 years. I mean, it ran. Oh, here it is. So from it ran from 79 to 92, 9 seasons. Wow. That's a heck of, and Junior ran for that long too. So it was double trouble. And this show was very popular, I guess. And so one can understand how Kickstart, the original Kickstart and Kickstart 2 could be made. Now I will say those TV show, they spelled it correctly, K-I-C-K. They didn't use the cool guy spelling that you would expect. So, having played Kickstart 1, we were primed and prepped and ready to go for Kickstart 2.
Having played Kickstart 1 several years ago.
So, again, this came out in 87 and was developed by Icon Design. Icon Design, it's their back catalog is kind of interesting on the Amiga. They did Blast the Ball. Then they also did like a port of Chucky Egg, which is a game I always enjoyed.
Okay.
They did a game called Pool. Then they did Revenge of the Mutant Camels 2, which we just touched on some of his work. And then they also did Rockford, which is the off name for like what the Boulder Dash or one of those games. It's like that Rockford's the other name for it. So their thing was basically just taking and moving stuff over, I guess, to a certain degree. Again, published by Mastertronic. These guys, they did it all. Just a few that they did on the Amiga. Viz, World Darts, Space Ranger, Sidewinder, Supremacy. They did Revenge of the Mutant Camels 2. And Ninja Mission. So some good stuff in there. And Clue was another one they pushed over. This was coded by Lawrence Van Helsview, who worked on Rockford. And the graphics by John Brennan. The music on this, as much as we laughed at it, it was the music was done by David Whittaker. He did the music for Alfred Chicken, which I know you love.
I love Alfred Chicken.
Bubble Bobble, Shadow the Beast, Golden Axe, the Xenons. So it's not like this guy didn't just fall off the turnip truck, but he was trying to replicate the idiotic music from the show. Well done. Because when that thing pops up, the first thing I think of is not, man, this is a cutting-edge music machine. I think to myself, my God, I want to destroy someone's synthesizer. It's the first thing I think of.
This is one of the few times where the Amiga not being able to do music and sound effects at the same time is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. This was also released in same year on the C64, and then a year later in 88, this got the traditional ZX and CBC releases. So you can see who's the odd man out here. C64, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad CPC, Amiga. Why? Why is Amiga stuck in? Don't know. But they were. And this runs on the original chipset, as one would imagine, from 87. So, Brent, your initial thoughts for Kickstarter 2, it comes up, you see that opening menu. What did you think? And, of course, the rousing theme, love theme.
Well, I honestly, when I first loaded this up, I thought, man, I've got one with a screwed up music thing.
Yeah,
so I quit the game three times trying to fix the music. And then I was like, all right, I need to go check something.
Yeah.
That's me typing in YouTube and hitting play. I was like, oh, no, okay, that's right. All right, let's go back to the game.
Yeah.
And I loaded up. I was like, okay, the menu system, while stupid, is actually not bad.
It's functional, but it's in traditional European picture mode.
Yeah.
Where you basically can pick. What you can pick one or two bikers. This has two players simultaneous, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
It's got it lets you pick whether you want to play or you can do the construction area where you can make your own courses. Or also a menu option. And lets you pick your control scheme.
Yes.
Which good luck on anything but joystick.
Well, did you try this with a mouse?
God no.
I tried this with a mouse. But not using a mouse, using a touchpad.
It didn't go well.
Yeah. So I fired this up. I got it going, right?
Yeah.
And literally, as I'm figuring out what does what, I find the switch to the sound effects, and I've never been so happy. That moment, I was like, the unrealistic purr of the bike engines. I'll take that over that music any day of the week.
And the game comes up though. It shows you that it has the music. It shows you like the a big blown up digitized logo with a dude that looks like he's getting ready to fall off the bike.
Well,
you know when it comes
I think
up
he's landing.
I don't know. He's splayed. He's in midair. He's gonna land on any way it goes. He's in pain. I can tell you that right now. Then you start your game up. So. This game, you know, I was excited when this came up because me and you both like motorcycle type games, like side view.
Yes.
We played on ARG, we played a couple, like the arcade when you picked some
Evil
other one.
Knievel. Yeah.
And so I was excited, but in my mind, something was telling me, wait, hold back your excitement. Because I'd forgotten that we covered Kickstarter when I thought we had, but I thought it was on R. Sinclair. So when this thing comes up and you start the race, you're in a split screen.
Yes.
There's a guy at the bottom, a guy at the top. If you're playing by yourself, then you get a computer buddy to play. I should also mention on the opening screen, you can even put your name in. So you can play. Well, I'm saying I always did. I want to see myself out there, you know, but I see my name up in lights. Then you fire up the bike and you take off. Now, this game is not the kind of game where you, okay, normally if I'm in a motorcycle, I see a bunch of ramps and buses and crap. I'm like, okay, I'm going to fire this sucker
full
up.
Full speed ahead.
I'm going to crank this thing up and then I'm going to strategically land, right? No. This game is like the TV show where it's not about cool jumps or going real fast. It's about going slow, fast, medium. You have to change the speed.
It's about maintaining a speed, yeah.
When you first play this, you're going to hate it. I mean, you're going to hate it a lot. Because everything you do is wrong.
Yes.
I mean, you can't. There are a multitude of different things you can have to go over. There's like just like in the show. There's ramps. There's these. Well, I mean, one thing it's not in the show. There's you jump fire. There's also these like plungers that go up and down. You have to jump. There's also you go across different types of terrain. Sometimes there's no terrain.
Yeah, potholes.
Sometimes there's waters. Sometimes you're jumping over phone booths. Sometimes you're going over fences. There's all sorts of different stuff that you're going over, but none of them will let you go full bore over them. The button in this game basically it makes you pops you up, and you also have to control your speed by basically like there's a little meter at the top of the screen that is like your speedometer, basically your RPMs, I guess.
No, it's a speedometer.
Well, and you basically control, you can set it and then go at that speed. I guess what I'm trying to say. You can go full bore, you can go slow, you can stop. You can do everything in between.
Yeah.
you may have to go real fast to go over a ramp. At the bottom of the ramp, there may be like a fencing. And on fencing, you have to go real slow. So you have to basically slam that the speedometer back to middle or less to get across these things.
It's trying to simulate a throttle.
And then you're also using your button to kind of, you can also kind of pop your bike up.
Well, you can pop wheelies, yeah.
I mean, it's more than a wheelie.
And you can do bunny hops.
That's right, bunny hops, which they do on the show as well. Because sometimes you have to go over precarious bits of land. Yeah. What did you think of the control scheme? Now, you played this. I'm assuming at some point you switched to a joystick, or did you always use
it? No, I used keyboard. Oh, I played with mouse controls, and I played with keyboard controls.
So what did you... I never tried either one of those. So what did you think of using those control methods?
Here's the thing. This is not a racing game. This is a puzzle game.
It sort of is a racing game.
No, it's not.
I mean, you have a time.
There is a guy at the bottom that you're seeing... Basically, you're trying to figure out... You're watching him to figure out what speed you're supposed to go for the obstacles. Yeah. But this is a puzzle game. And you have to recognize what hazards require what speed. And that's literally the game.
Yeah.
There's no... It's like if a simulation game tried to be a puzzle game. And the marriage, in my opinion, did not... go well. I want to go full bore. I want to make these jumps. I want to have fun. But anytime you try to have fun in this game, you fall over.
Well, here's, if I may uh-huh. jump in, okay? This game features 24 courses plus an unlimited amount you make yourself.
Yes, okay? It has a course editor.
So, if you, and I was not super keen on a lot of provided courses, I'll be honest. You could sit down.
They're a mess.
You could sit down with the course maker, and you could make courses that where you could go full out.
Yes,
if you wanted to.
I agree,
and which is cool. I like anything that's got a course editor. Okay, and this is a pretty easy one to use one.
It's fun.
I toyed around with it. Okay, but this game, what it reminds me of is it reminds me of Trials HD, the
not
old
even
Xbox
close.
Game. No, I mean, hold on. Let me finish. The difference is Trials HD and Trials. I don't know if there was ever a Trials before Trials HD. Trials is a game where you're on a motorcycle and you do sort of work out puzzly stuff.
Yes.
But the difference is tons and tons of it is blinding breakneck speed with crazy loops and incredible leaps. This
yes.
could have been that. This could have done that. And there are parts of Trials where you have to do things sort of like in this game. You have to go over top obstacles and barrels and
yes.
whatnot where you're not at full speed, and you have to do that. So there are part. I don't know if the guys that did Trials ever played this game. I bet they did. So there are elements of Trials that probably came from this game. That much said, Trials, the best parts of Trials are going crazy fast and having huge leaps and being awesome, like Evel Knievel style.
Yes.
None of that's in this game.
No.
There are no crazy leaps. Unless you make the thing yourself, or it's
and
one of the courses
then,
I didn't play.
Even if you set up your own ramp,
yeah.
It's almost simulation. It's not like you're going to fly over 50 cars. You're
right.
going to fly about 3 telephone booths width.
Yeah, he
and
doesn't
then
jump
it.
Very far. It's
no.
it's a perpetual irritant.
Yes.
You think, and the thing is, you could go full throttle. Now, if you had a good lead up, because one of the things they do on these courses is they make them, like, there may be a cool ramp where you jump some phone booths. The problem is, at the end of the ramp, they'll put a fence. And so all the fun
gravel.
You're having turns to crap
yeah.
when you get across the fence. So, just to bump back for a minute.
Okay.
Because right, I'm going to put the game over a little. Okay.
All right.
Again.
Do you like the music?
No.
You like the graphics?
So, hold on. The game has 24 courses. All right. I'm reading.
Which, okay, go ahead.
All right. And the box here is very enlightening. It says the challenges range from ski jumps to springs, telephone boxes to bunny hops, fire pots, farm gates, ice, mud. It's also got a day and night cycle. You can make your own courses. So you've got all that going for you.
All right.
You it does have two player simultaneous play, which is fun.
Okay.
It'd be fun to race your buddy. I mean, it could have been. If you make your own courses, maybe it could be fun.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. And so that's something that's sort of unusual to have the two-player simultaneous play. Now, so that's what you get with this. And we understand the concept they were going for. They were trying to be like the TV show.
Yes.
Okay, now, let's look at this. Let's break it down. We did not like the sound. No. Okay. The graphics are remedial. Okay.
They're garbage.
Oh, no, they're serviceable, but they're not very attractive.
No, they had
they're 8-bit-ish.
They had to make very simplistic graphics to allow the course editor to work.
Well,
that's my opinion.
They're basically up jacked up 8-bit graphics. All right. They're more colorful, but I mean otherwise that's what you're getting. Because I mean think about it. The Amiga could put together a pretty awesome motorcycle game. But that's not what this is. I mean, yeah. It could, even if the concept was the same, it could look better. It doesn't.
It should have looked better.
It should have looked a lot better. So we don't like the sound, and we don't like the graphics.
Yes.
Now, we do like the simultaneous two-player. We do like the course editor. I mean, so given what they want you to do in this, all right, what did you think of the controls?
Horrible.
So you didn't appreciate the controls at all?
No. It's trying to simulate a throttle.
Yeah.
That's why they give you mouse control, to simulate an analog throttle. and to their credit, that should work, but I never got it to. But I'm not going to knock it on that because I wasn't using a proper mouse either.
Well, I use a joystick. And I could set the throttle at my leisure.
Yeah,
but the problem is you swap it. It's hard. You have to memorize where you have to put stuff. There's a lot of figuring out what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
When you first play this game, so here's what happens. We should mention this. You're driving along, okay? There's a ramp. You jump it, okay? You come down the other side, there's a fence. And so what happens is if you don't do it right, your guy just sort of, the bike just careens down to the flat ground, and then your guy falls off.
Yeah.
And the more horrific the fall... or the more horrific the crash, the further he'll fall away.
Yes,
and
the
then
further he'll launch
this
forward.
Takes, and then it takes time, more time for him to get mauled before he gets back in the bike. By the way, I should mention the crashes aren't anything to write home about either. You know, this isn't
it's
like...
It's kind of funny the first few times, but then you just get annoyed at it.
Yeah. So, and then, but the annoying thing is, you're going to be going up and down ramps, and you're going to think, hey, I'm good to go, and you'll just go right through the ramp, have a crash, and fall. It's because you didn't pop the top, the...
Or really? You weren't going like, the right speed.
And so but you're asking yourself, what did I do wrong? Well, who knows is the answer. You can't even hit a ramp. How inept it. Or, you know, it's like I want a bike.
Yep.
So the controls, I don't necessarily blame the controls because they're hampered by the game, effectively. I mean, I like the idea. The throttle is not the worst idea. In fact, the concept of this, there's a certain set of people that are probably going to like this game. Okay, I think it's pretty popular.
Now, masochist?
I've heard the C64 version. This is the superior version.
I have as well.
I have not played it. I know you played. You told me on the old show you'd played the original version of Kickstarter on the C64 quite a bit.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, the original Kickstarter was more playable.
Yes, it was way
this.
More focused on fun.
Yeah, this one. I mean, again, it's the concept of the show. This is basically it's goofy to me. Like, I wouldn't find that show that... I liked it when the kid crashed, but, I mean, just... I watched them do it. I mean, it's pretty interesting, but, I mean, after a while, it's just samey. I mean, you have to be a real gearhead to get into
it,
I guess.
Well, I like skill competitions. More on BMX, but I will watch motorized skill competitions as well.
Yeah.
Like, where they try to stay on one wheel for as long as possible, and they're doing tricks and that kind of stuff. So, this show... has a possibility of appealing to me. However, gamifying it, they did a very poor job. There are obstacles that will just repeat over and over and over and over. The sprites, because it's a split screen, are small. You can't have scenery, like trees
Not
or crap
scenery.
In the background, and have a ramp or... an obstacle or anything like that. You have to choose one or the other. And nothing is attractive about it.
Yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating to continuously fall off your bike and not know why. It's continuously frustrating to watch the computer do what you feel exactly like you did and it worked for him and not you, it's because your speed's off by like one click or something.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I was sucking at this. All right, I'm not going to lie. And so I thought, you know, there's only one thing for it. I'm going to consult the documentation.
Okay.
So here, I'm going to read this verbatim, just a brief synopsis. So it just says, hazards include, okay, springboards, which bounce you in the air, step and picnic tables, which can be jumped over at just the right speed, ramps, pipes, walls, screen gates, and sand traps. Take these slowly or fall off. Tires, hedges, barrels, to be taken at speed, you can jump them, but best to slow down. Mud, slow down. Avoid spikes. Like, that's really not much to help you. I could have figured out slow down at the mud. You know, I was looking for some technique advice,
well,
basically.
And you heard half the manual is slow down. Yeah. Don't have fun.
Yeah. No, you know, my favorite games when it comes to motorsports are the ones where you go incredibly slow. Like it, like someone at one of those carts at Walmart. That's what I want. I want to... This, I mean, I think this show is more interesting. That this doesn't translate well into a game, no. I don't think. But people seem to like it. So it's funny. This I looked up, like I was like, okay, well, how did this do? You know, because I was real interested to see how it did, and the it actually did. Yeah, you know, it was okay when it comes to the reviews on this thing. Lemon, surprisingly, Brent gives this a 6.71. That's a pretty high score. It's funny because I read the reviews that are on Lemon. I always read the little reviews. They were putting this over like there was no tomorrow. They loved it. People loved it. Now, we talked about this. I think it was me and Bo talked just a while back, but it could be me and you, about these 8-bit games coming up, getting converted up to 16-bit systems, right? Yeah. And there is an attachment that people had to these games. And so when they brought these up, people would get them. They remembered playing this on the old Speccy or whatever.
Sure.
They play it, you know. And so you can fall in love with these games. And I'm not saying, hey, if you love Kickstart 2, that's fine. I mean, there's probably a game here if you're good enough at it. But the point of it is, I think a lot of people, this is right here is your road to glasses, a mania.
Yeah.
Because we play a lot of old games. We play new games. And this game is a game. It's got its own vibe. But it just, I didn't have fun at what they were had on offer.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if they'd had better curb appeal, you know, better, if they'd used the Amiga to more of their advantage, if it was prettier looking, if it looked like a 16-bit game, maybe I could have overlooked some of the things they'd like about it. If the sound would have been better, maybe I could have overlooked some stuff. Everything it did a quarter job.
Yeah.
Because it was a conversion. They converted up the Amiga, and when they do that, you get basically an 8-bit game. And so if you're going to do it, make it a good 8-bit game. You know, but this one was, you know, people like the show. They like the first one. That's just a guess. There's only one review I found in terms of magazine reviews on this one. AUI out of Australia gave us 8 out of 10. Put it over like gangbusters.
Wow, I guess the check cleared.
We did get some Discord action. Brent, if you're interested in hearing what the boys had to say, start off with our good buddy Adam from the Computer Chronicles group podcast. He writes in, dirt bike's awesome. High speed, awesome. Wicked jumps, awesome. Kickstart 2, total crap.
Yep.
For the life of me, I can never figure out why these Kickstart games are so highly regarded in the C64 world. He would know. He's a C64 expert. But I digress. We're talking about the vastly improved Amiga version, right? In terms of graphics, music, and sound, sure. However, the Amiga version suffers from sluggish input. It takes a criminally awful game and makes it worse. Kickstart 2 and its predecessor are both supposedly hinged on physics. However, what passes for physics in Kickstart 2 borders on nonsensical. Your rider can bunny hop at will, fall nose first into an uphill slope at full speed, and bounce on the rear wheel at top speed. If your brain is grounded in actual physics, you'll need to drink some rubbing alcohol and sear that part of your brain before proceeding. Please don't drink rubbing alcohol. Kickstart 2 is best played two-player because the computer is often far too good to allow any imperfection from the player. But also, the track creator really ups the replay value here. I remember making dozens of tracks as a kid, but let's face it, the fun was heavily hampered by god-awful gameplay. Kickstart 2 deserves 3 somersaulting deaths out of 10.
I think that's fair.
Sort of a burial there from Adam.
I think that's fair. And also, if you drag a friend into playing this with you, you're a bad person.
Yeah, but, well, it might be more foolish.
No, Aaron, you're a bad person.
So let's hear from someone from across the pond here. Our good buddy Pajaco chimes in. Maybe they get a different perspective because they watch the show. A racing game where patience, not speed, is key. Normally, I really enjoy these kind of games. You have to have a lot of patience. And I found Kickstarter 2 to be intensely frustrating. Because there didn't seem to be any rhyme nor reason why you fall off your bike. Sometimes doing an action at a certain speed would be fine, and other times you'd crash. I did start to get slightly better, but still couldn't quite nail what I was doing. And once you mess it up, you can take an age for you to get back into the game, and you're often taken to the next safest part of the track, so you don't get to practice the entire tracks until you're sufficient to complete one without taking a toll. He's got a good point there. We'll talk about that in a minute. And any mistakes are pretty much a guaranteed loss against a computer who seems to be able to navigate most of the tracks with ease. You don't get many checks for your money, but it is a budget game, and the track builder will give you the potential to have infinite tracks. The editor is clunky to use. For me, the C64 version is more fun game, seemingly giving you a little more space to learn and make mistakes. The Amiga game is too unpredictable to be fun. 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Not good.
When Pajaco hates it, it's bad times for your game.
Another review from our good buddy, the Drone Doctor. The doctor is in. Kickstart 2. Played on the web interface using keyboard controls, thanks to me. Got through all 5 levels. My best time was 252 seconds, I believe. Very frustrating game and kills you for seemingly random reasons. I tried with no success to get it working with an Xbox controller connected to the PC. Recognized it, but it did not work. Probably the emulator. I'm probably spoiled by Trials HD, which is a modern take on the type of motorcycle trick game, but this game is pretty useless, even taking into account the platform and decades since it was released. 3.5 drones out of 10. The doctor has spoken.
I'm glad everyone's killing
And yet
this.
Another review from our good buddy Petzl. This game got a lot of action this week.
Well, it's good to hate.
Petzl writes, in my youth, I'm surprised he remembers that. In my youth, I loved revving up Kickstart on the C64. After some time, I traded it for Kickstart 2, and it didn't move like the original. No. Taking Amiga Kickstart 2 for a test spin has shown me why I left 2 behind. Kickstart 2 seems like a simple game, but it takes time to learn the nuances of each obstacle. It is more challenging than the original. The more time playing, the better the understanding of what is required to traverse a specific terrain or object. More joy comes with more time on the seat, and that's probably how a simple game like this should be. The music would have been great, except for the fact that the sample synth trumpet thing was horrible. Replace that with lead melody sound with what Sid synth lead from the C64 version of Kickstart 2 had, and we'll have a deal. I would not be surprised if the C64 version has better music.
I can't imagine
it being much worse.
Yeah, I would hope so.
For me, the question was this. Will my patience run out before my enjoyment? Kickstarts? See what he did there. So there you go. Some interesting reviews here.
I can answer that. Yes, it will.
any final thoughts on this one, Brent? Not really a thought, is it?
I like these style games. I love Excitebike.
This are you nuts?
But this is like Excitebike. If you want to suck the fun of an Excitebike, play some Kickstart 2.
You know, ironically, from what I read, this was more successful than Kickstart 1 in terms of how much money it made. Speaking of money, I did have a chance to look this up on eBay for the Amiga if you're feeling so inclined. It's not the easiest game to get hold of. I found a copy in Germany, CIB, going for $32.50 US. Or best offer, and up in Canada, I saw it go for $29 or best offer. So you could get this thing if you were so inclined, I don't know, man. This is one game that makes me happy I'd ever gotten the whole bike craze. I'll stick to my idea, taking the riding bikes into little circles. If they made a game about that, I would be on board.
Welcome to Retro Rewind. I'm your host, British Jones. Whether you enter the Amiga, Commodore 64, or Tiger Floral Print Speed Suits, Retro Rewind has all you need from the friendly hosers of the Great White North. Looking to upgrade your Amiga? Check out the Amiga OS 3.2.2 Kickstart ROM for just $18. Or maybe you need a C64 or C128 diagnostic harness. Grab one while they're hot. Don't miss our bestsellers like the 1541 Transit Card for just $1. Or the incredible Amiga Coin Cell Battery Adapter. Shop now at Retro Rewind Limited and bring your classic computers back to life. Retro Rewind Limited. Frank's the man.
Amiga News.
Yeah.
You talk during the gamble train.
That's right. I've created the gamble train. I'll talk whenever I want, Ned Gellman.
Oh, man.
I'm excited because we got some Amiga news this week, everybody. We're going to start off with a little thing here. You know, normally the brand, we sort of have an unwritten rule that we don't talk about games when they're not ready. But by God, let's talk about this one. Someone is working on an OutRun Amiga port, and we've got video here.
That makes it good?
Well, let's put it this way. It makes it better than what we had. This is someone's going to do a proper job. And this video that we've got linked up here is the fellow demonstrating the actual port. Now, for you at home that aren't getting to witness this, this is sort of a colorless road that this guy's going down. He's pointing out some various things that we're too dumb to understand. But I can tell you right now, just from the screen, this already runs 10 times smoother.
I already like it more than the actual game.
Yeah. Famously, Amiga OutRun is double garbage.
Yes.
And I will say, it does have one of the all-time great openings. You know, and it makes you seem like it's going to be the best thing ever. It's the most incredible opening. Well, I mean, even the opening's kind of dumb, but still. So anyway, work in progress. It's happening. It's happening. So, bam, never has the whole love and respect of a nation been behind one man like it is this guy. The Amiga Nation's begging this guy to get the job done. So good luck on that. You can check that out on YouTube. Now, I hadn't even heard of this, the Brent, but the boat found it. It's another work in progress. It's the Cthulhu Project. This looks like it's going to be one of those dungeon crawler type games, sort of in the vein of a Eye of the Beholder or whatnot. Boat's favorite, by the way. You like the Cthulhu stuff, don't you?
I do. I really do.
What's your favorite ever Cthulhu-based game?
Probably the Xbox.
Corners of the Earth.
That was
a great game. You know, while we're talking about Cthulhu, Brent ran a Cthulhu game for me and Boat and Matt, and he killed us all in a real jerky way. Thanks to Brent.
Well,
we didn't do nothing wrong.
When the big monster goes, brr, grr, you shouldn't go, I'm going to hit it with a bat.
That was mostly Boat, to be fair. This looks pretty good, Brent. What do you think of this work in progress?
Hey, I salute people who are out there trying to make something new. So, thumbs up for me.
I mean, the interface looks pretty
nice. Looks real good, yeah.
And, of course, it's got some of the usual things you'd see in a game like this. But, yeah, good luck to this fellow who is working on this. It might be good. I mean, you can't go... It's hard to botch Cthulhu, I think. I mean, normally.
Well, no, that's incredibly not true, but...
You think?
Oh, yeah, that's an easy mess up.
So, here's one that I really can't comment on because I don't have... ChatGPT+ to try this out, but someone has taken all the Amiga programming stuff, uploaded all the books, PDFs, whatever you do, into the ChatGPT, and given this thing the ability to be the ultimate Amiga guru.
Oh, to ask it how to write code for stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's
among
very
other
good.
Things. Yeah. So, according to the little descriptor here on ChatGPT, it says an expert on all things Commodore Amiga and its development. It has been trained on various Amiga development manuals for C, Assembly, and Amiga Basic.
That's really good.
I wonder, now, do you have ChatGPT Ultra
no,
Plus?
No, I don't pay for ChatGPT.
Okay, do you do get into some of these, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Like, if I said, Brent, I want to get involved in this AI business, like, which one do I pick? What would you tell me?
I'll wait for the text-to-video stuff to go big.
Well, I read a thing, you know, I'm just, a lot, since we're talking about ChatGPT and AI, I bought a bunch of Champions or Hero 5th Edition Fantasy Hero books, the D&D version of that.
Okay.
And I read somewhere that someone had taken all the Champion stuff and they dumped it into this ChatGPT and you could ask it all the rules, all the combat rules.
That's
How do I get
good.
Something like that going, Brent?
Well, you... find wherever that's at, and then you do it.
When you want to teach...
Well, I mean, what do you... What
well,
do you,
I mean, I guess my... See, I don't know much about this. So these fellows here, this Amiga guru...
Yeah.
How would one go about teaching one of these AIs how to know all this stuff?
Oh, that's far more too complicated for this segment.
So you can't just... Because it seemed like the guys that were talking about the hero stuff, they seemed like they just dumped a bunch of PDFs in that thing.
Well,
is that the way it works? Can you just, like, can it read these things and figure it out?
I haven't looked into the... adding information to the program, so I can't really comment on that with any kind of
if anyone
accuracy.
Who listens to this or watches it has any insight, drop us a little comment there in the box. Help a brother out there, because it's too hard for me. But I feel like I'm missing the bus on this thing, and it looks, you know, the whole gimmick here with the chat. So that's kind of neat, though. Thumbs up to whoever did that. Hey, if you've got Amiga questions, having like an AI to help you, it's a good deal.
Absolutely.
So I guess this is the final news. We're gonna give ourselves a little our own news here. So let me tell you a story, Brent, if I may.
No, we're not gonna do it.
Well, I'm gonna do it anyway.
All
so
right, fair enough.
As you know, I drive a lot for my job.
Yo, trust me, you comment on it often.
Well, I mean, because it's a long drive. And so anyway, so the other day I was driving home from prison, and I ran out of podcasts. I'd listen to everything. I'm out. You know, I listen to tons of podcasts, and I'm sitting in the car. In complete silence, I'm angry. And I'm like, man, we need suckers to make, we need more people to make podcasts. Like, we need to fresh this sucker up. And I stopped somewhere to do another job. And while I was there, I was messing with my phone. And I put in the Discord, I said, listen, Amiga Cammy runs this game jam every year. We were in part, you know, we looked at the games I did a couple years ago. And I was like, why don't they have a podcast jam? Where people make podcasts, like big contests. That'd be kind of fun. And so by the time I'd gotten back to the lab, Boat had already set up the page and was already getting judges and getting awards.
As John does.
And so Boat, while I was gone, dubbed this the Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam 2024. So here's what this is going to be. As of right now, you can submit up until 2 months, 4 hours, and 8 minutes from now. I mean, 2 full months to do this. What is it? Here's what the jam's going to be. You can submit one podcast show. It has to be an original show, okay? Anyone can make any show, as long as it's in the realm of good taste and it's under 1 hour. That's the cutoff, okay? It can be a 10-minute show, it can be fun, whatever you want. And... these shows can range from totally polished and professional with sound effects and sound drops, whatever you want, or they can be raw, whatever you think gets over your item. Because I thought to myself, every person listening to us has at least one show in them. One show. Maybe it's the start of a series you've always wanted to try doing. Maybe it's a one-shot where you just gonna want to go off on something or describe something or maybe whatever. Everyone's got one show in them, and this is your chance, because I think we're going to do pretty well here, and I'll explain why here in a minute. I think we're going to get a lot of submissions here, and this is going to be the perfect platform to launch a podcast. This is like, how often can someone say, listen, hordes of people are going to be listening to all these shows, including yours. You're going to be instantly known by a certain amount of people, okay? It's a great launching point, so you can look at it that way. And for the record... like, if you submit a show for this, we don't own the show. We're not keeping the show. Take the show. Do what you want with the show. You're just entering the show in the contest. So what is this contest? Well, it's Amiga Aaron's Pod Jam. Now, when you have a contest, you got to have judges, right? And Boat, I got to give Boat credit. He went out and got the best judges he could find. Judge number one. You may have heard of this guy, the Brent. He's running the Kickstarter event, which will be far better than the game we just played, by the way. He's running the Kickstarter event over in the UK. He's a DJ by day, actually by night. But by day, he's a member and a founding member of one of the top podcasts in the UK and, dare I say, the world, which is the Retro Hour. Talk about our good buddy Ravi Abbott's going to be one of the judges. Ravi, you can't. I mean, this guy's got skills, multiple skills, a great guy. He's going to be one of our judges. Second judge. You may have heard of this guy. I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore of podcasters, this guy's on it maybe a couple times, actually.
Wow.
One of the pioneers of podcasts, one of the first guys ever heard, and still going strong, it's our good buddy Rob Flack O'Hara. love Flack. If you're not listening, you don't know Flack, Sprite Castle, any of his other shows, Flack is the man. He's done a ton of good podcasts. And in rounding him out, a man who has an up-and-coming podcast, him and Boat started a few years ago. He's going strong now with our good buddy Dave Velociraptor. And oh, by the way, he runs a little museum you might have heard of. It's our good buddy Bam Neil from The Cave, RMC. He's going to be the third judge. These three guys are going to pour over all the entries, and they're going to come up with the winner of this contest. We're lucky that our sponsor has chimed in, and he's going to give away prizes. First place prize is $50 gift card from RetroRewind.ca. Second place and third place get $25 gift cards. Plus, we'll probably have some other prizes that come in. This is early days. We just came up with this a couple days ago.
Well, Aaron, I've already committed.
Yeah, you should be committed.
If you are among the first 40 people to submit a judging entry, I'm going to send you free of charge, no postage, no nothing, a commemorative magnet
for the
Amiga Aaron Podcast Jam 2024. You just have to, once the judging is complete, hit me up on Discord with your address, and we'll get that in the mail for you.
It's amazing to me that, like, in the time it took me to drive home from prison, Boats and all this stuff, plus had a logo and a name. And now I'm being marketed. I did nothing. Listen, my last push on this, and then we'll move on. I know a lot of people, you know, I've been pushing for people that we know, people in Discord, people that we know about, people that stream. I've been pushing for a long time for them to try their hand at podcasting. And podcasting hit a real high note during the pandemic, but it's kind of ebbing. It's kind of, I think we hit the high water mark. I would love to have some fresh, new faces that move into the scene. The thing is, what we talk about this, the podcast challenge here, it's not, you don't have to do anything about retro games.
No.
You can do something about whatever you want.
Sewing.
As long as it's within good taste, the realm of good taste, you know, paranormal stuff.
Well, no, I mean,
sports, but you know,
yeah,
whatever.
It's literally anything. Yeah,
anything you want. Everyone's got one in them. Review a TV show, do a video game. Like I said, if you never do another one, that's fine. But if you use this as a launching point, then the prizes and whatnot, they're irrelevant. People are going to hear this. It'd be a great way to launch multiple podcasts. So please, I would love for you to join us in this. If you've got, and by the way, if you're doing a current podcast, you're still in. As long as you submit a fresh, new podcast.
It has to be something new.
Doesn't matter. Only podcast, not video.
I'm submitting something. Are you?
No, God, no.
Oh, what? Yes, you are.
But again, one last thing. We don't need video. It's all audio.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So if you're interested in this, you can go to itch.io/jam/podjam2024. Brent, let's see what me and not you will be playing in next week. Oh, man. We're not talking about Prince Albert, the old wrestler. It's A-Train. A-Train, Brent. The old train simulator. We're getting our train on. Are you sad you're going to miss out on that?
Well, I would much rather ride on the B-Train.
Trust me, that's exactly where you're at. And you're in the caboose of that train, I might add. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We appreciate everyone, all of our Patreon supporters, all of our good buddy, all the people in chat. We had a good crowd out today. Thank you very much for hanging and banging with us, and we'll catch you guys next week when we have a look at A-Train.
Boop, boop.
Until then, adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/amigospodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.